Okay, ready for a deep dive into a country that measures its success by happiness instead of just money?
Yeah, Bhutan and their growth national happiness, right?
GNH, you've probably heard of it.
Everyone thinks they know about it.
But it's way more than just, being happy all the time.
It really
It's
is.
like way deeper,
It's
right?
like imagine looking at your whole life, your health, your community, how you even use your time.
Even how well you sleep.
Yeah, trying to find that balance that brings like real well-being.
That's what Bhutan's going for.
Yeah, that's their goal.
So it's like they looked at that whole chasing GDP thing and said,
The classic model.
yeah, and we're just like, hold up, there's got to be more to life.
Totally.
And what I think is so cool
Yeah.
is that they actually did something about it.
They did. They're like, if the government can't even create happiness, then what's the point of it?
Bold move.
Right.
Very bold.
But okay, how do you even start to measure something like happiness?
Right.
It's different for everyone.
Totally subjective, yeah.
So how do you like put a number on that?
Well, they didn't just put smiley faces everywhere and call it a day.
Thank goodness.
They created this whole system called the GNH Index to really get a sense of how everyone's doing.
Okay.
And they look at nine key areas, they call them domains, that they believe lead to a good life.
Nine domains of happiness.
Nine domains of happiness.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued. Lay it on me.
All right, so you've got the obvious ones like, good education system, healthcare, healthy
The
environment.
basics, sure.
But then they get into the really interesting stuff.
Psychological well-being. How people spend their time, strength of their community, even their level of civic engagement.
So they're like measuring how connected people feel to their community.
They are.
I mean, how do you even quantify that?
It's not about just like counting smiles or anything.
Okay, good.
They use a mix of hard data, you
Yeah.
know, like access to healthcare and all that.
Yeah.
And they combine that with people's own self-reported assessments of their well-being.
Oh,
So
interesting.
they do a lot of surveys and interviews.
So it's like a two-pronged approach,
It really is.
trying to capture both the like objective data and the subjective experiences.
They want the full picture.
That's so ambitious.
Incredibly ambitious.
I mean, it's one thing to like have a happiness index, but it's another thing entirely to actually use it to run a country.
Exactly. And that's what they're doing.
Wow.
They use these measurements to actually shape government policy.
So give me an example. How does that actually work in practice?
So, for example, Bhutan is a stunning country, right?
Absolutely gorgeous. I've seen pictures.
So tourism has huge potential for them, economically speaking.
Right, makes sense.
But they actually made the decision to limit tourism.
Really?
They recognized that if tourism wasn't controlled, it could harm their environment and their culture.
Which are both like essential to their whole GNH thing.
Absolutely.
So they were willing to like potentially lose money to stay true to their values.
It was a trade-off they were willing to make.
That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, it's a powerful statement about their priorities.
It's not always easy though, is it? I imagine there's a lot of tension between like economic growth and staying true to these GNH principles.
All the time, yeah, it's a constant balancing act.
I bet.
And what's interesting is that all this data they're collecting is constantly revealing new challenges they need to address.
Like what? Give me an example.
So, for example, Bhutan's made great progress in education and healthcare,
That's awesome.
especially for women,
No,
actually.
that's great to hear.
But the GNH surveys are showing there are still big gaps between men and women
Really? In what way?
in things like how they use their time and how fulfilled they feel.
Oh, interesting.
Women in Bhutan are still doing way more of the housework and childcare, and it's impacting their well-being.
That's a really important point.
It is.
I mean, it shows how this GNH framework can actually uncover issues that you might not catch just by looking at like the usual economic indicators.
Exactly. It gives them a much deeper understanding of what's really going on in people's lives.
So they're using this information to shape policy.
They are.
How so?
Well, for example, they've been putting more programs in place to try to promote women's economic empowerment
Okay.
and to challenge some of those, you know, more traditional gender roles that might still be lingering.
So they're actually like taking action based on what they're learning.
Absolutely. It's a constant process of learning and adapting.
That's amazing.
It's a fascinating example of a country really trying to put happiness at the center of its decision making.
I'm honestly blown away by all of this.
It's pretty incredible, right?
And we've only just scratched the surface.
We've got a lot more to unpack.
So we're back talking about how Bhutan uses GNH to make decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to hear more about how this works in practice.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier some of the successes and the struggles
Yeah.
of trying to actually implement something like this.
Right. Well, I think one thing that's really interesting about Bhutan
Yeah.
is that they're not trying to create some perfect utopia, right?
Right.
They're very aware that progress is messy.
It's not linear.
No, not at all. And it often involves tough choices.
For sure.
And those tough choices can sometimes lead to unexpected outcomes, right?
Yeah, totally. So give me an example of that. What do you mean?
So let's take their environmental conservation efforts.
Okay.
Bhutan's done an amazing job with that.
Yeah, they're known for their pristine environment.
Exactly. They have pledged to remain carbon neutral. They have constitutional mandates about how much of their land has to be forested.
Wow.
They are constantly looking for ways to protect their biodiversity.
That's amazing.
But here's the thing. As Bhutan's human population is growing,
Right.
and they're trying to preserve more and more land for nature,
Makes sense.
they're seeing a really big increase in what's called human-wildlife conflict.
Oh, interesting. So it's like their success in one area is kind of leading to new challenges in another.
Exactly.
That's something I never would have thought of.
It's a classic example of the complexities that they had to deal with.
Yeah.
Bhutanese farmers, especially those that are living near these protected areas,
Right.
are facing more and more challenges with wildlife, like encroaching on their lands, damaging their crops.
That's got to be tough.
Imagine, you're a farmer who's worked so hard to grow your crops, and then overnight a herd of elephants just comes in and wipes everything out.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's heartbreaking.
So it's like, how do you even begin to address something like that through a GNH lens?
Yeah, that seems like impossible. Like, who do you side with in that situation?
Right. And that's where those nine domains and all of those indicators
Right.
become so valuable.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about them measuring things like psychological well-being and community vitality?
Yeah.
Well, the GNH framework forces policymakers to consider the impact of their decisions on all of those aspects,
Okay.
not just the environmental ones.
So it's like, again, finding that balance between all of these different competing interests.
Yeah, it's about saying, okay, we want to preserve the environment, but we also need to make sure that our farmers can make a living
Right.
and that we have, food security for the entire country.
It's a tough situation.
It's a very complex equation.
So how are they handling that? Are they compensating the farmers for the crops that they're losing?
So they've tried a bunch of different approaches.
Okay.
They have experimented with pilot programs where they do provide some financial compensation
Okay.
to farmers if their crops are damaged.
That makes sense.
They've also invested in things like, electric fencing
Sure.
to try to keep animals out of agricultural areas.
Right.
And they're even looking into some more innovative and out there solutions
Like what?
using things like sound cannons that make loud noises to scare animals away.
Oh, interesting.
Or they're even using chili pepper based deterrents.
Really?
Yeah,
Yeah.
amazing.
So they're really trying to think outside the box and find solutions that work.
That's so cool.
And I think the biggest takeaway from all of this is that applying GNH isn't about finding one magic formula,
Yeah.
right? It's about acknowledging how complex every situation is, listening to everybody who's involved, and constantly adapting and evolving your approach as you learn more.
It's like they're constantly experimenting and then adjusting based on what they're learning.
Exactly.
And it's like you said, every situation is so nuanced and there's so many factors to consider.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's not just like a one-size-fits-all approach. It
Exactly.
makes you realize that Bhutan is kind of like a living laboratory.
It really is. For this whole idea of how do you measure happiness and then how do you actually create the conditions for happiness?
Yeah, and they are out there on the front lines. They're making mistakes, they're learning, they're growing.
That's so cool. It's really inspiring.
It is.
Even though it's, obviously a work in progress, but it still
Yeah.
makes you wonder, what can the rest of us learn from this?
Yeah.
Even if, we're not living in the Himalayas.
Right.
Is there stuff that we can take away from this experiment and apply to our own lives?
Absolutely.
So we've been talking about Bhutan and this whole GNH thing.
Yeah, their big experiment in happiness.
Exactly. And it's definitely got me thinking,
Right.
most of us aren't about to, you know, run off to the Himalayas and
become Bhutanese citizens.
Right, exactly.
To give up our passports.
Yeah, so what can we actually, like, take away from all of this?
Right.
What can we actually use in our own lives, even if we're, you know, living in a world that's obsessed with GDP?
I think that's the big question, right?
Yeah.
What's so inspiring about this whole thing is that Bhutan is really showing us that there's another way to think about success.
Totally.
One that's not just about, you know, how much money you have or how much stuff you own.
It's about the bigger picture.
Yeah, it's about your well-being.
It's about, like, actually enjoying your life.
Exactly.
And not just, like, stressing about stuff all the time.
And I think the great thing is you don't have to completely upend your entire life to start incorporating some of this stuff.
It's not about, like, doing a complete 180 overnight.
Right. It's about those small changes.
Yeah. Yeah, just, like, shifting your mindset a little bit.
Exactly.
So, like, what are some things that, like, our listeners can actually do?
Well, I think those 9 domains of G&H are actually a really great starting point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we talked about those earlier. So, like, education, healthcare, healthy environment.
All of that. But also think about the other ones, too. Like, how much emphasis are you putting on relationships?
Yeah.
Are you doing work that feels meaningful to you? Do you feel a sense of community? Do you feel connected to something bigger than yourself?
It's true. Those are all, like, super important, but they're easy to kind of let fall by the wayside when you're busy with life.
Totally. And I think that's where Bhutan's emphasis on mindfulness comes in.
Oh, interesting. Okay, tell me more about that.
So, you know, they actually include things like meditation and sleep in their G&H index.
Really? They measure that?
Yeah, they understand that those things are not luxuries. They're essential for well-being.
I like that.
So it's about, you know, slowing down, being present in the moment, taking care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're giving us permission to prioritize our own happiness.
Yes. And it's also about questioning some of those, like, deeply ingrained societal messages that tell us that, you know, more stuff equals more happiness.
Yeah, more money, more problems, right?
Exactly. Bhutan's really encouraging us to look beyond those really material measures of success.
Yeah, and think about what actually brings us joy.
Exactly.
I love that.
What truly makes us feel fulfilled?
It's such a good reminder that we actually have the power to, like, define success on our own terms.
And absolutely.
It doesn't have to be this, like, one-size-fits-all definition.
And if you're feeling inspired by all of this,
yeah,
why not try a little experiment of your own?
Okay, I'm game.
Imagine that you could design your own personal G&H index.
Ooh, okay.
What would you include on it?
That is such a good question.
What are the non-negotiables for you living a happy and fulfilling life?
That's something for everyone to think about.
It is. It's a really interesting thought experiment.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Bhutan's gross national happiness.
It's been a journey.
It really has. And I have to say, it's got me feeling really inspired.
Me too. It makes you realize there are so many different ways to approach this whole idea of progress.
And it gives you permission to, like, really think about what's important to you.
What really matters.
Exactly. So to everyone listening, if you're feeling inspired by Bhutan's story, definitely check out the show notes.
Yeah, we've got tons of resources there for you to keep exploring these ideas.
And until next time, thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.